apology from Honorable Julius Pandema and Honorable Salt. Any other apology that members are aware of? Honorable Majake is on the way. Honorable Salt.
Advocate Breitenbach and Mr. Horn are probably going to be very late, but they might all happen.
Okay, Honorable Breitenbach will be joining us. Honorable Major.
Thanks, Chair. I'm going to request to be released because I'll be attending another committee meeting.
We are noting that apparently the matter beyond our powers. Honorable Kumulan.
I don't know.
You will be part of the fire. You will be part of the fire. Okay, Honorable Mutapu. Okay, so it's clear that our members are overstretched, not by choice. Honorable Majaki.
Good morning. Sorry, I'm just coming in late. But I guess you're actually inquiring about availability for the meeting. I'm available to our meeting. Thank you. It's always thank you.
Those who are just coming are also welcome.
Mr. Commissioner, I guess we are in line.
Honorable Chairperson and members of the committee, to say good morning and thank you for the opportunity that you are giving us to the presentation. It is still in order to also wish the committee well in 2016. Compliments from our side as Corruption Service. I have with me this morning Chairperson, the CDC Strategic Management, Mr. Kachenga, who will take us through the third quarter report. But with us also, we have the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Nick Ngege, who will also take the committee through the department's financial expenditure as at the end of the third quarter. We also have a small beggar who is here to provide us with support on issues regarding performance. TC Kosa, responsible for human resource management, and CBC Greta Hotman, standing in for legal services. Chairperson, the department has been having quite a number of events that have happened the last time we met, which I think it is going to be proper that the committee is brief about that. We had a very successful Operation Vala for the year-end, December, January, where, again, the emphasis was on SH assaults against terrorism in our facility. We will be able to provide that report comprehensive to the committee, not today, but we shall send it for the attention of the Chair and members of Parliament. We also have had an engagement by myself in KwaZulu-Natal, Chairperson and members, where a decision has been taken to suspend the Regional Commissioner of KwaZulu-Natal, Mr. Nicola Mele. We will be going to the Labour Court on the 15th of March, where he's challenging his suspension and also the institution of disciplinary measures against him in the matter that our legal services is currently engaged in. And then maybe just for information's sake is also to indicate that we have had an engagement with the Songke Gender Justice as well as what is normally called Section 27 with regards to the issues that we had in Port Moresby remand detention center. Members would remember Last year we had an outbreak there of rodents, and also the entire institution was infested with lice. As a result, offenders had to be evacuated from that institution. They had to be cleaned and sanitized, and have now returned to the addiction center. I think, Jefferson, I just wanted to indicate that if there are issues, I think if members of parliament also may be aware, we shall also be able to respond to. But I think today is for us to come and give the department's performance with regard to the third quarter. Then I'm going to request the CDC strategic management, Katenga, who then take us through that presentation. And then the other issues shall be dealt with the chairperson as we proceed today. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Morning, Chair and members. I will take you through a summary of the performance information for the quarter, after which my colleague, the CFO, will talk you through the financial information for the same period. I must just indicate that there was a detailed report on the performance information that gave more explanation around reasons for underperformance and variance, but I think it was just a mission on circulation. But that should come to us as we go along. So basically the presentation of, I'll give you the background, and then we'll go through the detail of the areas where we have achieved and the areas where we haven't. As I said, the purpose would be to go through our performance against the 2015-16 APP. In our annual performance plan, we have 48 targets. For the third quarter, we will be reporting on 41 targets because there are certain that we actually measure on an annual basis. So we'll only be measuring them at the end of March. And then obviously there's some progress that we are going to be reporting on the targets that are on the academic year. So we'll be reporting as at the end of December. I think you're familiar with this. This is the engine on how we report what is achieved is green, what is red, and partly achieved would be the yellow. So for the third quarter, of our total 41 targets, 46% have been achieved, and 54 have not achieved. That would equate to 19 of our targets have been, and 22 that are not. And as I said, the other seven, which are the yellow ones, are only going to be measured on an annual basis. If we go per program, we'll start the program one, which is administration. The administration of 6% have been achieved, then 70% is not achieved. And that is off. Is that better? Okay, all right, thanks. Thank you, sir. All right, so as I've been under program one, which is made up of management, finance, and corporate services, we have the three targets that have been achieved and the seven that haven't. If we look at the detail of that, what has been achieved would be the percentage of officials that have been found guilty of corrupt activities. And then the IT targets, which is around the server and wide infrastructure rollout. The unachieved targets are under the red column, but I'm not too sure whether I should go through the detail line item by line item.
What are the numbers say?
Yeah, they say yes.
Okay.
Honorable Bongo, do you want to raise it?
Is a Jew that Leras has seen the documents. So if we save time by not going word for word, that will give you an opportunity to engage with the issues. Otherwise, it will be a lecture, and the end of the lecture will go over. Can we go that route? That you don't go into the details.
Yes. So if that be the case, then maybe if I can go just the summary prep program of what has been achieved, what hasn't been achieved, and then after that, this
is the members.
Perfect. Thank you. Under program two, which is incarceration, 27% of the targets have been met, which is the three, and eight targets have not been achieved. And obviously, detail will follow on those slides under the various sub-programs of security operations and facilities. If I go to rehabilitation, program three, we have 50% of the targets that have been achieved, which is four of the total of eight, and there is the one target that will be measured annually. And obviously, the detail is under sub-programs of correctional programs, psychological, social, spiritual services, and personal development. Program four, which is care, all the five targets have been achieved, which is 100%. That is under health services, nutritional services, and hygiene services. And finally, program five is social integration. 57% has been achieved, which is four of the seven targets, which will be under the sub-programs, rural administration, supervision, community reintegration, and office accommodation. Maybe just to summarize in terms of the way forward and how we handle the information where it is, obviously what represents in reality is preliminary information. We still need to go back and do a further verification to ensure that what we are reporting is accurate and complete. And obviously for that validation, then we do submit to the DPME. And obviously for the targets not achieved in the detailed report that we are going to submit, which is on its way, there is more detail as to the reasons for underachievement and the remedial action that will be taken going forward. We do also undertake departmental quarterly reviews. We're actually having that exercise tomorrow and Friday, where we go through and review our performance, more especially the areas of underachievement and the remedial actions that are going to be taken in order for us to be able to achieve 100% of our targets by the end of the year. So that is a discussion that is taken with all the senior management present. And then obviously subsequent to that, we do reports in terms of the DPM guidelines. I think for the performance information, that would be my summary. And maybe I would like to hand over to the CFO to talk us through the budget figures for the same period.
Honorable members, are we happy that we move to the budget figures before we do this? Okay, proceed. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to deal with the initial state of expenditure, the program, and then move on to the economic classification and conclude from there. Just as to indicate that at the national level, the adjusted budget was 20.588 billion. We've spent up to December 2015 15.273 billion, where the available budget was the fourth quarter, the remaining budget is 5.3. The percentage spending also in terms of the total budget as of December for the three quarters is 74.18%. The next slide provides a program how we've spent throughout the three quarters. At the total, as I indicated, is 74.1, but however, the administration first program has percentage of actual expenditure was 76.42, which is 2.8 billion. Incarceration at 72.7375, rehabilitation at 70.118, care at 82.12, and social reintegration at 75.09. The two programs in terms of spending plan, administration, the spending plan of the original spending plan is overspending by 129 million. Whereas incarceration is underspending by 242 million, the total, but in terms of the vote, it's underspending by just below 7 million over 3 months, three quarters. The next slide just represents the graphical representation. I will then move on to the analysis. Year to date, as I've indicated, is that we spent 15.2, which is 74.18% against the spending plan of 15.2, resulting in underspending in the total vote of 7 million. We, however, should note that the spending plan included in this analysis is aligned to the original spending plan as approved at the beginning of the year. The revised spending plan, after funds were shifted during the AEME process, has not yet been approved because the association has not been passed. Factors that contributed to the program, I will now deal with administration, which indicates that there was an overspending of 130 million. There were five main factors that contributed to overspending on administration. Firstly, is on fleet services due to high cost of repairs on each aging fleet. The actual spending on fleet services is 123 million against spending plan of 20 million, resulting in an overspending of 53 million. There is also an issue. The second one is on carry of inventory items on consumable supply of where we overspent by 43 million. However, this expenditure will then be cleared towards the end of the year to the respective programs and sub-programs where those consumables are supposed to be allocated. The third one was on farming supplies, where the actual spending was 35 million against the spending plan of zero, where we overspend of course by 35. This is on animal feed shipments. Then the fourth one was on material and supplies of where we overspend by 23 million. Lastly, on leave gratuities and the legal claims, we spent 20.5 million against the spending plan of 1.8, resulting in an overspending of 18.7. Of course, that's where we don't have we would not, it's an aspect where we don't actually have the control of, particularly on the legal claims as to the timing of such outflow. Program 2, incarceration, there was an underspending of 243 million. Mainly on this program is due to compensation as a result of vacancies. At the end of the period, there is a funded payment establishment of 28,825, of which 26,649 are funded field posts, 85 of which are filled additional to the establishment, mostly on entry level, and resulting in a high count of 26,734. But the vacancy rate here is 7.5%. This is the program where there is a lot of underspending. Program rehabilitation, underspend by 30 million. Here as well, it's due to vacancy rates, as well as payments on capital assets under machinery and equipment, where there is delays in terms of delivery of equipment that has been procured, farming and workshop equipment to the region. Program care. There was an overspending of 139.4 million. In this instance, this is the program where the institutional services, we are currently funding two management areas, front bench and Bidon County, which the kitchen infrastructure is undergoing repairs, and we have to put it on the outsourced services arrangement while the process is still underway. Also, food inflation is a contributing factor in terms of repairs on nutritional services. The last program is total integration, where the spending was 3 million, but in the main was as a result of vacancies amounting to 5.9%. Chairperson, I will now proceed to the summary on the economic classification. The compensation of employees, you will see there was an underspending of 553 million, whereas goods and services, there is overspending of 483, had indicated the main pressures are on nutrition services as well as administration, fleet, farming supplies, and so forth. On payment of capital assets, this is mainly the timing of the capital project, however, they still available funding. As we see to, as we see at the end of December, we have an available budget of 5.3 billion towards the end. Chairperson, I'm trying to summarize, and I think that is the feature of the expenditure of the department, and I would like to close at this point. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity once more. The two presentations with regard to our state of affairs as at the 31st of December with regard to performance information and the department's budget expenditure. The areas that are of concern, especially with regard to performance information, largely with administration, incarceration, rehabilitation. And those are influenced mainly by the department's ability to achieve the targets that have been set, some of which at that point our performance was not up to the required levels. And as a result of that, that is where the underachievement is. However, as the CDC has indicated, tomorrow and Friday, we will then be sitting to validate the performance as we receive it from region. There will be that exercise to look at what were regions supposed to have achieved, what are the achievements, and what were then seen as the stumbling blocks, to just ensure that the documentation with regard to that is correct. The objective that we set ourselves at the beginning of the financial year, Chairperson, and then our performance as 31st of December should also indicate what needs then to be put in place nationally and provide some direction for regions so that we are then able to provide support and assistance where it is necessary. Our biggest challenge with our core function being incarceration and rehabilitation, because that's what the department is mandated to do. And the biggest challenge, Chairperson and members, mostly with what happens in a correctional facility, that includes gangsterism, where there are these assault on other offenders, unnatural death and escapes. Those are the main critical indicators that would determine as to whether we're performing on our mandate. But also importantly, rehabilitation, as it deals with efforts that are put in place by departments to ensure that offenders attend programs, there are correctional sentence plans that indicate at what point programs should be provided and what kind of programs, and the skills development of offenders. Now, in those two areas, Chairperson, we are not performing up to standard. And tomorrow we'll then have an opportunity to zoom in into regions as we have them, but also zoom in into budget programs to see what can be done in these last 3 months of the financial year. Our budget expenditure, Chairperson, at 74.18, the concern is largely with our vacancies. We have looked into our situation the past and this current financial year, and we must hasten to inform the committee that our officials are resigning in their hundreds, mostly because of the fear around the amendments to the pension and tax laws. They are resigning in their hundreds, and as we speak here, Chairperson, for this current financial year, we have almost in the region of just checking because I have a note on that. How many of our officials have resigned? Almost close to 714 that have resigned. And that trend continues on a monthly basis, Chairperson. And it is a serious concern, much as we have gone out to reassure officials, because in terms of correctional officials who are public servants, the regime that is there has been the same, that at the end of your work, when you take pension, you shall receive a set of what you have contributed, and then the remainder you get on a monthly stipend as pension. It's still, the fears are there that it seems as if people are going to lose their pension. However, we also have started to put measures in place. I can inform the committee that we have taken a decision that we are going to have a fourth learnership program. We have approved three for the financial year, and we are going to have a fourth and a fifth one. Now also going out on advert soon, where we will be advertising internship program, so that we then have to a number of people that at any given time when we have this serious need at lower levels that we can employ on a permanent basis. I think that's what we would like to say at this point in time, Chairperson, and invite then yourself and the committee to raise concerns with us, which this team will be able to respond to. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Should we pause there and open the floor for members? Honorable Sam?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I'm hotly covered by the explanation that the Commissioner gave, because the vacancy rate is truly alarming. But it seems to me that besides his explanation, if you draw down and look at where the vacancies exist, I mean, they do exist predominantly in incarceration, rehabilitation, and social integration. And that's the central bit. I don't see vacancy rates, for example, in administration. So I was just wondering whether there were additional contributory factors to the large number of people who are resigning, other than the pension funds, since they need to be located in particular areas. But I also, I must say that I'm a little bit disquieted by the number of performance indicators that have not been achieved. I mean, it seems disproportionately high. And some of the things in the performance indicators seem to me very easy to achieve if they just do it. And in particular, I draw your attention under incarceration to draft policies on remand detention, on disciplinary system, on the privilege system, and on sanitation, which in the first three cases just have to be consulted with the National Management Committee. And I don't know what the holdup is. I mean, presumably if you consult with the National Management Committee, that can happen quite rapidly. So what's the holdup? Because it seems to be through relatively simple. Now, that's amusing. Likewise, it's a subject of some concern to me that in rehabilitation, you are wanting to get people to work and to engage in rehabilitative programs. But there's some sentence offenders who appear from this not to be subjected to correctional programs at all. And then disappointingly low numbers of people who attend social work services, skills development programs, and educational programs. Again, this would seem to be a relatively simple thing to be able to achieve. So I'd just like some feedback on that, if I may. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Self. Honorable Bongo.
Thank you, Chief. And thanks for the presentation, Commissioner. I think I share the same sentiment with the Honorable Self on the issue of vacancies. But I think of most interest to me would be the remedial action. I think it was in the main getting to me. The issue of remedial action is on the issue of vacancies. So now when I speak, I mean, interrupt is a problem. Okay, so my other discomfort will be around the issue of when I see the over and underspending. They don't seem to be exactly talking to each other. When it is an overspending, it does not necessarily talk to what has been generally achieved. So again, I think it does around, because what I'm seeing, a similar report in last financial year. If you check the report that he was presented in the last financial year and now, I think he does show some level of improvement. So that's why my main worry would be to know what is the remedial action and how do we zoom into this remedial action so that we're able to take the issues forward. But another issue, I think, is around internal audit. Also, given the meeting that the committee will have tomorrow and Friday, because if at this point we're not supposed to bring the report at this level, we have not consolidated with all the provinces as to what exactly actually happened, it then gives some problems. But if we to tighten our schools on the issue of internal audit, we'll be able to deal with some of the issues promptly. But I think, Chair, from the report that we get to the financial and I think there's some level of improvement. I do see a light at the end of the tunnel from what we needed to turn around. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I just want to some few comments. Firstly, I think we did suggest this time last year that the Department of Correctional Services look into the possibilities of selling the things that you get from VARs, because it seems to be putting money in there and there is a demand for example, for vegetables and other things. And that I don't see how much you ever the income that you receive. I don't see whether you have implemented that or not. Secondly, I want to comment on the question of advocacy, particularly of psychologists and sociologists. This results in to a lot of inmates remaining incarcerated when they are supposed to be due, and leading to the court case. People going to court and demand that they be released or be viewed. And yet, particularly the lifers that are still not in jail, and because if you remember the horrible case actually in that you cannot say you can't release the person from prison because he has not been seen by psychologist, because he has not employed, if not supplied. And if you remember that case, you would have no chance of winning any. Why don't you employ these people? Because I have got a problem in, we have got 20.5 million of legal fees, and you say you have no control, and yet you indirectly have a control. This brings me to the another issue regarding your suspending regional commission. I think it was halfway there. I'm not sure if there were any edges. Couldn't you have discussed the matter? Now we have to pay for a decision that has been put on. Why not so pressing that you could not, you know, handle it differently than say, I suspect?
I have a problem with that, and I think, Commissioner, you have been there for a very, very short time, and I'll personally, if it were me, check first of all what would be the effect of that within it. As a junior officer in my field, then somebody would think that I'm worried about us going to pay more money in legal fee on the decision that may end up perhaps being I'm not micromanaging the commission, I'm just worried about that. But thirdly, the question of people resign, and I think though maybe there is a talk, people are talking about this finance act, it is clear that it is not retrospective. It will start if it does start in April, which therefore means that before then there is nothing that affects these people's pension. The old apply. And I wonder how much information has been given to you, the staff members, about that. Because, I mean, if you have all the money that you have accumulated, it's just the money that you will receive as from the 1st of April to calculate that, is my knowledge. And I think, I'm not sure how much information has been given to the people, if that is the reason. Secondly, is there no other reason apart from that? Apart from that, there could be some reasons for that. I have not received that certificate. I've just informed about these things. But I think it is important, Honorable Chair, that we assist the department regarding that information dissemination and
Honorable
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me follow my colleagues by encouraging the issue of the following issue. Firstly, the high unemployment, I mean vacancy rate, whereas we have a high unemployment rate in the country. So this issue seems a really good thing. We have been deliberating at all. So I don't know why the department is dragging its feet on the issue. And again, last year we took a resolution regarding the aging fleet. We recommended that the department maybe sort of look at other options, because this is taking a lot of taxpayers' money. So please, may you kindly look at this. Because every time you come and report, this issue of aging keep on appearing. And overspending in programs 1 and 4, or administration and care, really, it gives a lot of questions to ask. And then again, as Mr. Atenma is studying, sort of provide at least what steps are to be taken to address this. This by the next week, because end of February, I suspect it's next week. This is by the February, we have steps which the department will take to address this long to care. And again, on the same issue, for how long has this boiler welcoming to nutritional services have not been working? But the overspending that was had, I can see as a result of non-working of kitchen equipment. And the my other concern is understanding in most programs. In most programs. And then what is things are putting cases to amend the program also. And a very critical issue is the issue of overcrowding in our personal centers. And I suspect the legal actions are taken because of this overcrowding. Because when one looks at the leakage, contracting of diseases or illnesses and all assorted issues, related issues, are happening because of overcrowding. So how then are you, as my colleague, my Honorable Professor Dumbuman has alluded to, the issue of overspending of last minus this 20 million on 18 or 20 million on legal action. So how do you intend to address this issue in relation to overcrowding?
Thank you, Chairperson. I also want to welcome the presentation. And I'm a little bit suspicious as to what are the reasons for the pension of the KZN Regional Commission. We haven't been briefed. You can just be given an idea to what the Regional Commissioner has been suspended for. Because our move was actually also to go into the direction of regional offices, because we've never really engaged them. Which means we've never really firsthand as a committee managed to receive information for regional commissioners. I also want to just comment you on the civil society organization of SMEs that's running programs in schools, and I think it is important for you to try and roll it out properly, because I did hit one of the schools and I hit the school principal talking about it, and they're really impressed in the restaurant. So if this is what you're doing in school, I think it needs your support. You have, by the end of December 2015, overspent almost in all the programs, which is a little bit confusing for me, because when I look at the performance, you're underperforming. If you look at administration, you've underperformed 70%. Since you was good, you managed to reach the target. If you look at incarceration, it's 73%. You managed to reach 73%, which is 27% of the target. We have 50-50, which is good. And here we're completely fine, including reincarceration. But when it comes to administration, you indicate in terms of what you have managed to achieve, increased number of officials on duty, which is good, but what is worrying is that the percentage of the community is low. So we might be celebrating for just a small number of officials that have been found guilty in terms of cleaning up corruption. And then we're talking also about infrastructure rollout, which is within 30% of the targets reached. My concern is that there's so much that we want, especially on technical equipment for the prisons that relates directly to your comment, Commissioner, on gangsterism, because you're actually indicating that gangsterism continues to be a problem. You haven't really said much about the internal audit, as Honorable Bongo has actually indicated, but what I would like to know is what is the internal audit recommending should be done around gangsterism in prisons. I imagine the internal audit would actually record this as a risk, and how are we then responding to risk identified by internal audit, or is your internal audit process working? Indicate how far are you, what is being implemented around internal audit processes. It would be good for us to manage to get such information. And then also in terms of the what Honorable Ntapo has indicated, South Africans are struggling with employment. And we have a lot of vacancies, and it has been a long time that we continue to have these vacancies. We want to see this faster. And when it comes to internships and scholarships, they are important, but they shouldn't actually place people being fully employed by the department. If half the population is employed as interns and or the dual leadership, we actually said these are just jobs that gives people a stipend that do not actually help those who are having families to run their families. So let's fill up the positions, and then along the way, especially for the younger population, because in our meeting with the Department of Justice yesterday, there was a complaint that lawyers are actually hired to retain. We can't continue to do that and have positions that are actually existing within the department. Thank you, Chairperson.
Time last year when we said that the prisons raised the problem of drug addiction as a problem within society and inside the correctional centers. And we even spoke about the need for a human reconstruction and development plan. And we suggested that you develop such a plan. And now one doesn't hear anything about that initiative from your report. I think there was a specific request for such a plan. And there was no indication from your side that that is not doable or that it is not desirable. So we had a legitimate expectation that you will come up with something like that, but you are silent on it. And if I recall well, there's a time when we spoke about halfway houses, and there was an indication that in Gauteng alone, there's some 10 million which was not spent, which was meant for these halfway houses. And we are not hearing anything about that. Now, the members were raising the problem of overcrowding. Now, if there is underspending on rehabilitation and social integration, it means that those that are in the correctional centers are being recycled, they go back and they are new entrances. So which means the problem is getting deeper and deeper. So I'm not sure that you are really giving us enough information as to what you are doing or not doing in that regard. And I don't also believe that figures, percentages will assist us. I think we need more details on what you do and don't do and what limitations you have and what steps are you taking to deal with that. And here, this brings me to the question of the use of professionals. So you know, every year, young people pass, graduate in social work, in psychology, in psychiatry, in criminology. And all these young people are swelling the ranks of the unemployed. So I still am unable to believe that we can have vacancies in those areas. And to the extent that if we employ them also, they can just become interns or learners. So I think we really need more information as to what's happening in that area. There is also the question of partnerships. We specifically said at our strategic planning workshop that we want concrete evidence of partnerships with organizations like Micro, Nixa, and I think I saw a report where Micro were complaining that they don't even have resources to operate, and yet their services are highly required. So I think we need more information as to what are the difficulties in really having dedicated resources to form and sustain partnership with those people, because it would be unreasonable of us to expect that officials can really work both in and outside the correctional centers to address this problem of rehabilitation young girls, boys, who have honors in social work. And some of them say that they apply, they can't even receive an acknowledgement of their application forms. So I know you may say that because of vacancy rates, but my colleagues have addressed my question, right? So let's hear more about that and see how we can assist you, because these are societal and not departmental problems. The other issue, perhaps the last issue I want to raise, is this question of social and spiritual faces. I'm sure you're aware of the work that is being done by the Commission for Cultural, Religious and Linguistic Rights, CRL Commission, because there are problems inside some of these faith-based organizations. And we know that you are credit some to work within the cultural center. And there are hundreds and hundreds of these institutions. What is actually the content of what they are offering? How diverse are these things? Are we saying we are opening up the correctional centers for people to establish churches in those correctional centers? Is there no way that there could be standardized social and spiritual services and have a one program that can be accredited so that you don't go and waste your time opening up people to come and claim that they are providing social and spiritual services, when in fact they are going to get people to be eating snakes or other things. So we really need to know what are the specific things that people are doing in those correctional services. So I'm very trying to say that in some areas like this, we need some details other than just statistics of what is achieved and what is not achieved. You know, I have the experience of youngsters that go for rehabilitation. There's a RAND clinic in Johannesburg. There is Stabilis in Pretoria. Admission for a month is more than 40,000 rand, which means the majority of the people in the townships cannot afford that. Now I'm just asking myself, what happens to the 100 kids in the townships that need the rehabilitation when the services are so expensive? So one would expect, therefore, that establishment of halfway houses and rehabilitation centers would be a priority if we want to save our children. And that is also not a matter that can be left to the initiatives of individual faith-based organizations. There has to be concrete partnership, and I want to repeat, with organizations like NICRO, NICSA, and I think we need a report, you know, region by region, or province by province, as to what is happening in that regard. Otherwise, these correctional services are not going to achieve what they are meant for, and they will never be correctional services because there will be nobody that gets out of them corrected. So I think this year we should move towards specifics and not generalities. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chairperson and members of the committee, thank you very much for the comments and the direction that has been provided. And I must agree with the committee that the concerns that have been raised are also our own concerns, because we also have done some sort of an analysis, and tomorrow and Friday we we shall be in a better position to see why our underperformance, especially to those programs that are aimed at rehabilitating and incarcerating under humane conditions. And then if you, Chairperson, you look at the performance, large underperformance, administration, incarceration, rehabilitation. In administration, Chairperson, as indicated in the handout that was provided to yourself, a number of decisions have to be taken by the National Management Board of the department so as to ensure that we move as one, we are agreed on what is it that needs to be done in terms of policies and procedures. And we would like to remind the Chairperson those points that are listed there are those that are around approvals by the National Management Board of the department, which comprises of Chief Deputy Commissioners and Regional Commissioners. We have scheduled a meeting in December, Chairperson, which unfortunately could not take place. And as soon as we are done tomorrow, a decision will be taken to when we are going to meet at the National Management Board. We had experienced some challenges, and tomorrow we shall finalize a meeting that has to take place so that we are able to then take those decisions, which the honorable member of the committee indicates that yes, just our decisions. And once we have taken that, a huge improvement in those programs shall be indicated. Our concern mainly with regard to the three mentioned programs is it is to do with the core function of the department. It's the fact that Chairperson, most of the resignations that we're experiencing are at very lower levels in those programs. I think it will assist us and the committee that we provide a breakdown of resignations. Is it only custodial officials or is it those that are responsible for rehabilitation, like social workers and psychologists, so that the committee then would be able to also upgrade itself on the resignation experience at these particular occupational classes. Chairman, I want to emphasize the fact that we at Correctional Services have a challenge of overcrowding. We have a strategy to deal with overcrowding. In other regions, it has been very successful, in others, not so successful. In particular, in the Western Cape, for instance, as far as remand detention is concerned. Our numbers at Gauteng, at KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape have gone down. But when we look at Western Cape, our numbers have increased, meaning that the strategy that we have developed for remand detention is then to be adapted to the situation in the region of Western Cape. The team is looking at that as to see how we can reduce overcrowding. I must also add, Chairperson, that we have accommodation for 120,000 offenders. That's the accommodation that we have. If all of our facilities are open and we are filling them with offenders. However, we have 158,000 people in our care. That would include sentence and unsentenced, which we call remand. Two-thirds of our population is sentence offenders, and a third is remand detainees. Between ourselves, the South African Police Services, the Prosecuting Authority, and Justice, we have a development committee that oversees our performance with regards to bringing down the numbers of remand, the numbers of children in our facilities. And that committee, Chairperson, is forever providing us with reports that say, in this area we are successful, in that area we are not successful. It then means that, Chairperson, ourselves, through the development committee, we need them to provide our challenges to the JPS DG Cluster and Ministerial Forum so that appropriate decisions can be taken. Currently, as DCS, Correctional Services, we are working on the amendment to our parole policy. We want a complete overhaul of our parole system, in that it needs to speak itself directly to those that are serving which, what we call a short term, that is 0 to 24 months. And we are talking here about plus minus 12 double offenders. What are we saying about those offenders? And what can be done about them? So that our focus is then directed to those that are serving long-term sentences. And it is that category, Chairperson and members, that the department has not succeeded in providing correctional programs through correctional sentence planning, because our focus has been on long-term offenders. So the reason for me mentioning the amendment of, or the overhaul of our whole system is largely to say, correctional services, in terms of overcrowding yourself, what is it that you are putting to your executive for approval, so that the executive can then be in a position to say, let's take this then as a recommendation to the committee, let's take it to the pastor and let it be a decision. Because you are talking that your short-term offenders are taking quite a lot of space that could have been utilized for other categories of offenders, and therefore we can utilize our electronic monitoring system much better as a method of ensuring that those that are doing short-term sentences are being monitored. So I would leave the other concerns that the honourable member has raised, Mr. Self, with regard to what would then be the balance as to regard our budget expenditure and our low performance with regard to the objectives that are set. I must say I'm here with a team of CDCs who will also assist me in these areas that I've not responded to fully. With regards to the remedial action, and Chairperson, I need to say this with respect that our program and this one of Parliament are not talking to one another. It is my commitment that and conviction that the process that we are going to undertake on Friday should have been done before we came here to provide the committee with the report. We needed to have validated ourselves and verified the information and have brought in our internal audit function, so that as we give this report to the committee and the chairperson, it has been audited and it has been found to be in order. Now, we are going to do that exercise tomorrow. After we have presented yourselves a report that has not been verified and validated. And we then need to, my team and I, look at our program of verification and validation in comparison to the one of the committee, so that we do the kind of work before we come to the committee. Chairperson, the CFO would lastly come in to address the issue of under and over expenditure. I just look at the information that has been provided to me. Apart from resignations, there are also other service terminations that the department is having. And when you look at all of those service terminations, it then results in our vacancy rate, irrespective of the measure that we put in place, increasing and increasing. We had informed the committee last year that we had a special operation called Operation Era through the job fair. That operation Era, Chairperson, we should be able now to provide a status report to the committee as to what has been its achievement. Lastly, to address our closed occupational transfer specialist skills like your social workers, your psychologists, and artisans. We have a report that is not complete as other regions, in particular the region of Gauteng and the region of KwaZulu-Natal, still has to also provide the input. So what has then been the achievement of the job fairs and operation here? And that report, Chairperson, as also the report after the exercise that we're going to do tomorrow, will be provided to the committee before the end of the month, meaning that the performance information and also a report on the job fairs that has been conducted late last year, so as to address the vacancy rate. Chairperson, the concern that the committee is having with regard to unemployment in our country and this rate of vacancy in the Department of Correctional Services is our concern as well, and that is why we're trying to fill the positions by appointing permanently those that have gone through a particular training like our learnership. And that's why I announced that we will have a group 4 and a group 5 to fill those positions. What I would like to raise with the committee is, if today a correctional official grade one, which is what we normally call your warrant officer or your inspector resign, that vacancy and at the level that official has retained, when we fill it from beneath, we fill it with a person that would come at the lowest level. In other words, what we would then retain as official that we have just appointed and the one that has resigned, it's a huge difference in terms of salary. And therefore, our efforts to address our compensation budget keeps on moving, it's a target that is moving, instead of us getting to grips with it. We have had a workshop on that as part of our moving forward, and we will be putting to Minister Masuta a strategy that could talk to how we then move our grade 2s to grade 1 and grade 3s to grade 2s, so that we are then able to arrest this compensation budget that is forever moving forward and becoming unachievable. It is important that we raise this so that the committee can also see for itself the challenge of our vacancy rate. The department chairperson with the operation here, as I have indicated, will provide you with a complete report with analysis as to what we think we should be doing to address that. Chairperson, the concern that Honorable Mpumlwana is raising with regard to social workers and psychologists, which impact into the placement of offenders, especially your lifers. I think what is important for me and the chairperson and members is also to take note of the two decisions that we arrived at that would determine as to how and when consideration to the release of lifers takes place. And it is therefore important that I need to mention the Van Dijk and Van Vuren rulings. The person will remember that in the past, a lifer has to do a mandatory 20 years of his sentence before consideration can be done. The amendment came with the new Correctional Services Act, Protocol No. 1998, which then determined a 25-year period before consideration done. However, with regard to the Van Dijk award decision, it was that you needed to then look at the old arrangement in DCA where an offender was given or allocated credit, having served a period of time without having done something irregular and something misconduct, then an offender is given credits for a month, 6 months, and a year. Now, the Van Dijk ruling then caused that the department needed to consider these offenders. It does not say release these offenders. It says consider these offenders after you have allocated these credits, and which meant then that all lifers had to be considered after they have served 15 years and 4 months of their sentences. With regard to the Van Vuren, straightforward that the Minister of Correctional Services should consider. Now, this puts pressure on our social workers and psychologists to prepare these reports that then be sent to the Correctional Supervision and Parole Board and then sent to the Minister for consideration. And it kind of makes our work look very clumsy because the offenders themselves, citizens, were not ready for consideration at that time. And it put then also undue pressure on the Department of Correctional. Therefore, what we have decided as a department is where we don't have the services of a social worker at a particular correctional center and those of a psychologist, that the offender then needs to be transferred to an institution where we have social workers and psychologists for them to prepare a profile report for consideration of these offenders. According to the two mentioned decisions, would then be due for consideration by the Minister of Correctional Services for Placement and Parole. It is true, Chairperson, that has an effect on profile report provided to Minister and the NCCS, and we have a backlog with regards to
that process. Regions are involved in the resolution of that challenge, and we should be having a better situation going forward. I would like to speak on the suspension of Regional Commissioner Nair, which was a process that was initiated and concluded by SARS after due consideration to a number of issues that were raised with the Regional Commissioner. One of those was the reinstatement of an official who has received an arbitration award for reinstatement, which the Regional Commissioner refused to reinstate. Secondly, there was an issue of the award of a tender which exceeded his delegation, which we had put to him to respond to, which he did not respond. And thirdly, it was a matter of voting subordination, where the Regional Commissioner was requested to attend selection processes in the region of Gauteng, which he did not want to do because he cited that there were irregularities. He also indicated that he has taken his matters to the Public Protector and the Public Service Commission for their investigation. Now, the reason for having them arrived at a decision to suspend was based on the above. And what I would also like to hasten to say is there was a process where he had applied to the Labour Court for an urgent relief, which the Labour Court had turned down, and it is now set down for a hearing on the 15th of March. The concern that is raised by the Honourable Member with regard to expenses that will be paid, quite correctly so, we had also considered where we should not place the Regional Commissioner alternatively, but at the end of the day we then decided that his presence in the workplace is going to be a challenge. We are currently busy with investigations in the region of KwaZulu-Natal with regard to transfers, with regard to appointments, and with regard to the allocation of tenders. And I can only say at this point in time, Chairperson, that we shall be in a position to provide the committee with a full report as to what are the allegations and what has been his responses, and also his application to the Labour Court and the Department's responses, because I think it can shed a light on the concern that is raised by the Honourable Member. Chairperson, in correctional services, we have challenges, and these challenges are being attended by the executive as well as other ministers in government. I would like to make the committee aware of the center-based and non-center-based problem, the second phase of the OSD and the shift pattern. With regards to the center-based and non-center-based, as it has a financial implication, the department has gone back to the Department of Public Service and Administration, that's led by Minister Makora Mashodi, to indicate what would then be our challenges moving forward. At this point in time, your officials that are working at area level are deemed to be non-center-based, and only those that are working at the center, center-based. And when there are challenges of security during the night and or day when there are escapes and gangs are fighting, we are then unable to utilize those officials that are in the immediate vicinity to come and help us to arrest the situation. And that's why the department has taken a stance that those that are at the area level and correctional center level should then be deemed to be center-based. And those that would then benefit through that exercise, let that then be the case. The second phase OSD, Chairperson, the department has indicated to, I think, the committee that the challenge here was recognition of experience. Now, recognition of experience is that it should be taken from day one up until where the official is. In the translation piece of the implementation of the OSD for correctional officials, it was then deemed that it shall be counted from year 5 upward. And that would then cause the officials of the department to have problems and be granted with that entire process. We have been taken to court by Public Service Association. They have won their case. It has gone to the Labour Court. They have won that case. And lastly, on the final court, it was decided that take this matter back to Correctional Services and Department of Public Service Administration and find a solution amongst yourselves. And that solution needs to talk to the years of experience. Otherwise, there will be no way in which we can we can finally finalize the second phase of the OSD. I believe some of this that I've mentioned could also be adding on to the disgruntlement of officials of DCS and have contributed to the mass resignation. That's my opinion. Because every person having worked in a correctional facility in environment, you then get to want to know about what is going to happen to me going forward. But important, Chairperson, the department does not have a promotion policy. The department promotes people only after an advert has been raised or an advert has been put out. Correctional officials, Chairperson, want us to have a promotion policy. Now, in the current arrangement of the OSD in which we are locked, there's no way that we can have a promotion policy. And that is why correctional services have approached the ministry, our own executive, but also the Ministry of Public Service Administration and the South African Police Services to say correctional services is wrongly located in the council in which it is and should therefore be turned back to the council where the South African Police Services and the South African National Defense Forces are located so that whatever arrangement is bargained for the police and the defense force, correctional officials would also then be in that council and would then benefit. Those are what I personally view could be some of the challenges that officials are facing and that could maybe lead to improvement into them being more positive and wanting to still work for the department. Apart from the day-to-day challenges of security where officials' lives are exposed to danger, there are offenders and there are members of the public sector that are involved in criminality and gangsterism in our facilities. This also, Chairperson, has been made worse by the realization that some of our officials as well become involved in gangsterism and therefore defeating whatever we want to put in place to bring about an improvement in our security, but also to ensure the rehabilitation of offenders. Together with the other law enforcement agencies, the police, intelligence, and the special operations, we are currently doing an analysis of each and every correctional center so as to say, going forward in this institution, we need to put the measures in place. And in terms of, once we have done that, we shall then be able to come to the committee to say, we are winning the war against gangsterism and criminality in our correctional facilities. At this point in time, we have successes here and there, but in the bigger institutions like Cornwall, like your Westville, the gangsterism is very rife. And a number of offenders, Chairperson, are being assaulted, and to some extent, there have been also killings of offenders that take place after an order was issued by a gang leader to say, this one, tomorrow, we need to take his life. And which brings me to this point, Chairperson, that the committee, correctly so, keeps on putting to us to say, you have seen that you have a challenge of monitoring in correctional centers, in your passages, inside the facilities. Why then make use of technology? We have two opinions that are not the same. One says, yes, you can go ahead and put up technology in your passages, in your courtyards where offenders mingle, but be careful not to put that in the cell. There's also another opinion that says, no, don't go ahead with that. Now, the department chairperson needs to make a ruling once we have met as a national management board to say, Minister and Deputy Minister, this is our position. This is what we believe can help us because the gangsterism is being experienced at correctional centers. Let us put technology in these facilities so as to be able to curb this criminality. Chairperson, from this aspect, in my own opinion, we need technology in our facilities and it can only make us perform our work better. Otherwise, we are not going to be able to arrest this criminality that is taking place at our correctional facilities.
Which is an opinion which is not yours? And why does that opinion have weight over yours?
Chairperson, you came in very at a It's a very difficult time for me. Can I respond later? Chairperson, the honorable member really is making us aware of our own processes, which I think are very long in filling vacancies. That's why it has now been our own way that once interviews have been conducted, as soon as possible, the memorandum has to be provided to the delegated official for his decision taking. And what we have started to look at is scheduling from advert up until the filling of position to give ourselves a time frame that would then talk to us filling vacancies much more rapidly. We are, however, also concerned about the vacancies and the unemployment in our country. The aging fleet, Chairperson, the CFO will respond to that and indicate what are the measures that we have put in place. We have acquired more fleet now, and we are in a better position to respond to that. The balance at the two institutions in Free State, Chairperson, and other institutions. We have AJ infrastructure, and that has caused that our kitchens and our boilers are in a state where they're not able to provide the services that we are supposed to, so as to ensure that offenders get food at time and it is quality food and hygienic food. The two boilers at Hulp and Chairperson, they have reached their lifespan. And I think one of them had exploded, and one was still repairing the other one, then the other one also went off. We then have to, with public works, get a contract on site to put up new boilers. The same applies to Dizamakate. We are also having this challenge in Gauteng at Zone of Water. Fortunately, Zone of Water, we had refurbished a smaller kitchen, and food is being provided to offenders. But what I want to say, Chairperson, with regards to our facility, we have inherited old facilities. And all of these facilities, unless we at the department and the Department of Public will come with a plan to refurbish this correctional center, we are going to have a challenge where some of these facilities will collapse to a point of not being able to be utilized to incarcerate human beings. And also where we might have challenges of ablution and water. I'm sure Chairperson and members would have taken note that from time to time there comes a notice that this correctional facility has been closed down for a complete repair and renovation. It's precisely to look at how we can then refurbish that institution. Our facilities are very
conditional.
Yes.
When you say unless we do this, this will result. Who must take the decision that that will appear?
Chairperson, that decision should be taken by myself and this team that are leading. And that is why we are busy with the CDC incarceration of the small bank and the facilities team in head office to develop a refurbishment plan and a build program for the Department of Correctional Services, where we shall be provided to yourselves, our minister, a complete plan of one center up until the last one, 2043, so as to upgrade and refurbish. We shall provide that. We are almost done with that plan, Chairperson.
Because what we expect is that you must take decisions. Whether they are wrong or right, it doesn't matter, but they must be decisions. Let us discuss what went wrong with the decision. But if you are hesitant to take decisions and act, that may be interpreted as weak leadership. So don't fear to take decisions. Take decisions and act. If anybody wants to challenge your decisions, that's when we can sit and talk and say, if you can decide, we should expect to have a decide on your behalf. We want decisions and action.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Indeed, you are quite correct. We shall provide to the Chairperson and Honorable Member, Memo Tapo, about when the boilers at the two institutions become dysfunctional, and also indicate when they will then be in a position to
to start providing us with the service by heating water and causing that we have steam. The member is right, Commissioner Person. Overloading with our facilities, especially the B5, is severe. And as a result of that, we have then situations like the one we had at Portsmouth, where there is a serious concern as to the humane incarceration, in particular the space, hygiene, and as well as our ability to provide adequate security and exercise for offenders. I would like to make this picture to the committee. When we have a cell that should accommodate 30 and we have incarcerated 60 offenders, we have utilized a double banking system in the big institutions. Now, a double banking system means one thing, Chairperson, which we have to correct at DCS, that for an institution where you were supposed to have 400 offenders, you now have 800 to 1,000. And that is the effect of overcrowding. Now, overcrowding does not only affect the facility, it also affects the space and the hygiene of other people that are within that environment. And correctly, Member of Parliament, Chairperson, that is what has led to some of the litigation against the department, some of which we are not able to defend. We are currently, as a leadership, looking at that and seeing what it is that can be done, but we have also taken it to the JCPS Master, to the Development Committee, to indicate the challenge that we face as a department in terms of overcrowding. Chairperson, the two points that were raised by Honorable Majake with regards to overspending and the underperformance in terms of our performance information, I think the CFO will attend to that. Civil society, where we are running programs, Chairperson, what we have done and agreed on with those that are providing services to us and also where we are involved, is to have exchange programs where offenders go to schools that address offenders, I mean scholars, but also scholars from time to time come to our facilities to come and have a look at what are the effects of incarceration, what is it that we can do to cause that there is an insight into what can lead to incarceration and why crime is an evil. So we are doing that with the civil society. A number of programs that the department is benefiting from are being provided by civil organizations, which, Chairperson, you are quite right when you say the programs have to be standardized so that we are then able to, when we say we need this service, all those that are able to provide that service know exactly what it is that they have to put in, and they will be measured according to a particular criteria. So, Chairperson, we have noted that because what we have been doing is to have our own accreditation committee at each and every correctional center that would then accredit the business cases of service provider and a civil organization that would like to be involved in our facility. So we appreciate the direction that the Chairperson has provided. Chairperson, the Honorable Member is quite correct. We don't want to utilize learnership and internship to keep people at a temporary employment. I can assure Chairperson that the past groups that have been taken to learnership have now been employed permanently. And as we have these vacancies that I have reported to the committee, we then take on those that have completed their learnership and appoint them on a permanent basis. With regard to learnership, the Chairperson, the Honorable Member, is quite correct. The department will have to have a program where once people have completed their internship, we put them on a database, and when there are vacancies, we are then able to fill those vacancies much, much faster. Chairperson, the point that you raised on halfway houses, we have taken a decision that at each and every management area, there shall be a halfway house. That's why, Chairperson, in our performance information, we are indicating what is our progress.
The other spending that was experienced last year was as a result of us not having appointed an NPO, a non-profit organization, that would run the halfway house in Naturena. As we speak, Chairperson, that has now been done, and the expenditure in that regard is moving. However, there are other institutions of civil society, like NICO, like NICSA, and the KULISA, whom we also have approached to be able to assist us with the halfway house. We have approached NICO, Correctional Services specifically, submit also your response to an address that was put out. How can we utilize your services? Because NICO has been there with us for years, and NICO has provided significant programs in the prevention of crime for those that have been released, and also assisted those that have been awaiting trial in the years that have passed. And it's a partner that we cannot lose. We are considering with the executive what assistance and support can be provided to this organization so that we are able also to sustain them and that they are able to do their work that is of a similar nature to our department. We are also looking at what are we going to do with victims of crime, what programs can be put in place so as to ensure that we don't only think of them when a person has to be released, but throughout we can see for the department what it is that we can do to help and alleviate their situation. Chairperson, the moral regeneration and the human regeneration program that you have indicated to, if we don't have a response to the CDC Small Beggar now, because I know there is a significant work that has been done, we shall then provide that to the committee. Safe to say that issues of morality in correctional facility also go hand in hand with ethical conduct of our own officials and offenders, and therefore cannot be unlikely. Those are serious interventions that can be done. Chairperson, I think at this point, let me allow colleagues to come in and to fill up on the areas where I have not responded. What I would just like to conclude with, Chairperson, is that the programs of rehabilitation that the department is rendering to offenders, some of which are being presented to offenders by members of the public, are programs that are very much helpful and are programs that the department cannot do without. And therefore, one would appreciate the fact that the department, in terms of our own outreach program, how involved are we in crime fighting, other than making the community aware that crime does not pay. We should also be having programs that we can take those of our societies and communities on board to say this is how we intend to assist them, can we come in as a department. And on that basis, Chairperson, I would like to hand over to the colleagues, to the small beggar, and then see you.
Thank you, Chief. We hope we can pay them the double with the whole crunch or something. Chief, thank you. I was just respond and add some information that the Commissioner already provided. Chief, I think the first one that I need to respond to is the one by Mr. Self about social workers. Chief, in the past, up until the previous financial year, we counted all the interactions of social workers with offenders, meaning that each and every session will be noted down and it will be reported. Since the beginning of this financial year, we realized that that is not helpful. We need to only record an offender once, meaning that only new cases that social workers are seeing are recorded. So that is the main reason for the huge difference between this financial year and the previous one. Also, then safe to say that we haven't had a baseline for this year, so it was really just to adopt a percentage that we were thinking might be of assistance, but we have learned that it's not a realistic target for this year. So also linked with this, I think it's the matter that the National Commissioner raised about LIFES. LIFES need to be seen as determined by the judgment And whether an offender is ready or not, Chair, social work reports need to be compiled every time. So meaning that our social workers are spending some time also with the lifers, also including then the psychologist reports. So, Chair, that is the reason why we are not performing according to the current targets. There's the other matters of education, I think, which is not clear from the report, is that there was major progress in terms of our 9 full-time schools this year. We had a pass rate of our grade 12 this year of 72%, which is significantly higher than the national pass rate. And there's also an increase in the number of our attendance at the school, Chair. Chair, although it might seem small, but you can't have just grade 12 learners from onset. You need, at least in terms of the education department, you need to have them from at least grade 10, and then they will proceed to grade 12. So that improvement needs to be mentioned, Chair. So the other areas, especially with adult education and training, where there's also a downward trend for the third quarter, here we need to say that you have basically 3 reasons for the down in terms of the numbers. Firstly, Chair, it is offenders are falling out during the year. We know that the ideal is to have all of them there, but I think the same tendency is also applicable at your schools outside your facility, that you start off well and then as you progress, there's fallouts. Secondly, Chair, it also December, October, November, it's exam time, and December, as Mr. Medisa indicated, the Operation Vala, where the activities are less than in a normal month, Chair. Chair, but we also agree that we can still improve on education as well as skills transfer. Chair, in terms of the concerns by the Honourable Mr. Mpulwane, who's not here, but I think it's important to mention, you mentioned about the lifers, Chair, and that also impact on overcrowding. Chair, there was also a recent parliamentary question, and I just want to also share the improvements that are affected. Initially, Chair, the National Council, who must see all the lifers except the few from fear and crisis, were only meeting bi-monthly. The current NCC is meeting monthly to ensure that they manage those numbers that need to be seen. Chair, also linked to this, there's also an indicator that we are achieving, and that is the one of the cases that the Case Management Committee submitted to the Correctional Supervision and Parole Boards, which was previously not the case, but with the interventions, Chair, meaning that they are achieving their targets, so the backlog there is addressed. The small backlog with the lifers is between the parole boards and the NCCs, which the NCC is assisting by the monthly meetings to address that project. Jay, another thing that I also just want to add to what Mr. Lisa said is on overcrowding. Chair, the committee will also know, and the public at large will know that, to manage overcrowding is not just to release offenders. Parole is a contentious issue. National Commissioner indicated that they are reviewing that process. But, Chair, the parole boards need to be sure that information in front of them is convincing enough to place a person on parole before expiration of a sentence. So, Chair, that is always a fine line to make sure that we not only open the case, but we are doing that responsible, Chair. And I think the review process will also assist. Chair, the other that I think that we need to provide, as the National Commissioner indicated, is the matter of the moral regeneration coupled with the regional that you have mentioned, Chair, that we provide the report. Safe to say, Chair, that it's work in progress. On moral regeneration, we are at a more advanced stage than the other part, but I want to propose and say that we need to submit the report. Chair, with your question on special care, Chair, this is, as you know, it's a very sensitive issue, but we do have a very broad policy,
we had also learned from that session that we had with the other organizations there, and maybe it will be appropriate if we are not trying to explain in a minute or two, but maybe rather come with a comprehensive report on all the activities linked to spiritual care, the more than 1,000 people who are visiting our centers, the process that we are following to allow them to do that, who may come in, who may not come in, and all those requirements, so that we can be on the same page with regard to that part, Jefferson.
How long will it take to get that kind of report? And also a copy of the policy?
Chair, no, the policy is available. But Chair, link with that is the relationships that we have with numerous organizations, spiritual care organizations, and partnerships with them that we will not need to put together, which is not always only available on national level, but also on regional and center level. But Chair, we can provide that, I believe, in a month to come, Chair, to obtain all that information and to submit that to the portfolio committee. Chair, just to add the matter of halfway houses, Chair. Currently, Chair, the department do have halfway houses in all regions except for two. And the challenge that we have is with Free State, Northern Cape, as well as KwaZulu-Natal. The commissioner said in the session tomorrow and Friday that will also be a focus area, because we succeeded, Chair, to put up a number of halfway houses in Western Cape, Eastern Cape, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, North West, as well as Gauteng. So we fail to understand why are we struggling in those two, but that is the area that we are going to focus on the 2 days to come, Chair. Chair, I think that is what I can add to now. Thank you, Chair.
I heard you saying that the case where, for instance, you don't get the status of psychologist and you take these offenders elsewhere. I was just wondering whether you can consider the situation where universities are training these professionals at honors and master's level, including doctoral level. Now, the professors that are training them also have the responsibility to do community work. That if you enter into agreements with the university department and you place the professors and the students on call, so that if you don't have a professional, then you conduct that university, then they can dispatch, come themselves with their students or send senior students to do the work at that center, other than having to transport people to other places to change this. But I'm also aware that the University of Western Cape has a partnership with the American Social Workers Organization. At one point we hosted them here, and they're doing a very good work. Shouldn't we maybe get a workshop, bring the University of the Western Cape to share the experience with us? Then we can invite other universities to come and observe with their senior students, and bring a mixer, and actually just hear their experiences in that area, and get their suggestions as to how can they can, what they can do to strengthen your work, because I actually think we may be expecting the impossible for you from your reports. There are lots of challenges in the curriculum sentences, and some of the things that need to be done cannot be left to you alone. So I'm suggesting that maybe let's look at a workshop. We bring UWC in particular, we bring Micro, Nixa, and share the experiences and see what other community-based initiatives we can make to support the work that you are doing. But I think from the responses of the members, it's quite clear that they appreciate the serious challenges that you're facing. I'm told that there's tea outside that before you go to the next session that you all deserve tea and water. So I'm pleased to release you at this stage. Honorable Chairman.
Thank you, Jefferson. I just want to think on the response we received on the extension of the KZN Commissioner to say that the response is welcome, will allow as a community due process to take place, and we will then be provided with a report at the end of the process. Thank you very much.
I really support that. I think the explanation was very satisfactory. So we should allow due process to take place. I've been misled by
No. I'm misleading. He says the grace was beside you.
Oh, Thank you. Hola, desde mi punto de vista.
So I'm going to confirm the treatment of the people at home, and confirming the treatment of the people, then I'm going to write in the telephone for the people of the person, so nothing but the
Unit
so that they could start the process of proclamation by the president. Mr. Hessen drafted the proclamation to the president, and what we are waiting now is for the president to take a decision on the proclamation of that tender to Hessen. The other report that we have given for this one was just to give you a sense of what we were, and this is now the final one. Secondly, Chairperson, the Chairperson will remember, we also informed the committee about the MFW investigation. And the update that we can provide now to Chairperson is as follows. We are giving the following bullet, that the procurement matters, section 217 of the Constitution, section 45 of the DSMA, over that an organ of state contract for goods and services must do so in accordance with a system that is fair, equitable, transparent, competitive, and cost-effective. The appointment of MSW on a number of projects revealed some concerns in the manner in which they were appointed. And following an internal investigation by ourselves into the matter, and after consideration of an opinion by counsel, the following was done. We then took a decision that the contract with MSW at that time was suspended and to be cancelled it, and a meeting with the anti-corruption task team led to the matter being taken up by the Directorate of Priority Crimes Investigation, the OPS, under the umbrella of the anti-corruption task team, case number IR6-2015. Chairperson, just maybe some background on this message is that our participation in the contract that has led to the situation has been approved by the Director General at the Department of Education. However, the department's participation in the Adiama project was what we had found to have a problem with, because it was not part of that contract, and therefore, after we had done our own internal investigation, we then decided that the matter should be provided to Minister Masuka, and we did that, and that's how we then were able to suspend and cancel the contract of the work that was done. The department is currently have actually appointed an engineer to do an assessment of that work. And once we have done that, we shall then approach the minister as well as the committee to indicate what is the opinion of that engineer, because the MSW claims that we owe the money, and the department is of the opinion that what they say they have done was not what we had wanted, and that is not in line with the contract that was originally awarded to the Department of Basic Education. At this point in time, Chairperson, the chief director who was responsible for this, Mr. Joanna, is suspended pending the disciplinary hearing, which has taken place on three occasions, and we are confident that it shall be concluded soon, so that this matter can also be put to rest. These are the two forensic investigations. I think we have also provided to the committee a list of the financial investigations that as a result of the department's appearance as FOPA. That gives the committee a complete analysis of where we are currently, how many of those cases have been resolved, just to indicate progress, as we think it was necessary that the committee should also be appreciated of that said. We have, Chairperson and the members of the committee, decided that all financial misconduct shall be investigated, and within a period of 60 days, we shall then have taken a decision, and once we have done that, it is to serve those that have made themselves guilty with the cut sheet, so that within 90 days that matter should be resolved. This is a culture that we want to, that we are putting in the department, so that these cases that are forever pending and forever pending without any consequences, we are now trying to finalize and take action where it is necessary. Chairperson, that is what I can report to the committee with regard to forensic investigation. Thank you very much.
Honorable members, there is a report. I have no reception.
Thank you very much indeed. I'd like to ask about the electronic monitoring devices, because as it's now been reinvestigated, as I understand it, by the FIU. You know, you, Chair, would know a lot about additional and parallel investigations by the FIU. I really worry because, you know, are we to understand that the rollout of electronic monitoring devices has been halted in the meantime? And if so, when is it going to be a situation that we can start using electronic monitoring devices on a much larger scale than we've been using them up until now?
Any other questions? At least there was
contract we are talking about. So, who adjudicated over it? Is it your department or the Department of Basic Education?
Thank you, Chair, and members of the committee. The question that is put to us by Honorable Self, Chairperson, we continue with the contract. The devices are being put on offenders. What we consistently have picked up was that it is a matter that needs deeper investigation by an independent state organization. We have KPMG has completed what we wanted, and ministers' concern was just that there are some areas that needed to be taken further, and that's why he has then referred that to the SIU. I can assure members that we continue with taking offenders, especially those that we deem to be a significant risk to our communities, so as to be in a position to monitor them. The basic education, not the basic, the higher education, I'm sorry, Chairperson, higher education and training tender was not adjudicated by correctional services. It was adjudicated by that department. Now, what was needed to be done? Because in the department's memorandum to participate, it was indicated by myself at the time when I arrived, because already we had been participating that we can only participate on the same terms and conditions as was in the original. Now, if there's any deviation from the original, we cannot participate in that contract. And that is what actually laid the basis for the investigation. So, Chairperson, no, we did not adjudicate on this one. It was done by the Department of Higher Education.
When
an agreement for them to do that, do you believe that they have the capacity in that department to adjudicate over a service that is going to be rendered to you?
Chairperson, from time to time, the National Treasury makes us aware that there is a contract already existing for a particular service that is to be provided. So in this case, Chairperson, what I have seen the department did was to approach the Department of Higher Education and Training and try to get from them an assurance that we can participate in that. Of course, it tells you that once the Department of Higher Education has agreed to that, with regard to the services that we needed, we were supposed to have informed the departmental education committee that this is the intention that we want to do, as we will be utilizing a voted fund for that specific course. That was not done. And we just went ahead and participated in that contract. Thanks.
Honorable Bongo?
No, Chair, mine is just an appreciation that they have put in the systems in place. Because the last report that we got was like, things were just a bit clumsy. We didn't know this and that, whether the electronic system was going to be terminated or not. But I think the report provided today, I think it's really shows that they are above the situation, they're able to manage the situation. And systems are fighting in place. We'll just appreciate the continuous report on the developments of this matter. Because you know, SIU issues, they sometimes take longer than we expect. Thanks, Chair.
Any other questions? Honorable
The other question, I have a comment to welcome the report and to say that this is a very good step for really trying to deal with corruption in corruption practices, because we've been receiving too much of having like financial issues. It's step towards cleaning up the institutions of the departments. But at the end of the day, we came in the position to go back to the situation where we can come up with new policies.
Now, I get the sense which corresponds with my own sense that members are happy with what we have been doing. I think what we need is a better flow of information and timely flow of information. Because as you know, for us to exercise oversight, we need to have information. And of course there are parliamentary requirements on submission of reports. So if you do that on time, but we also understand that faced with all these resignations, that may affect your capacity to do certain things timely. And we are also aware that the challenges in your department are really societal challenges. So we want to keep closer to what we are doing, and the National Commissioner knows that our door is always open. So if there are challenges, don't wait until they are in the media or elsewhere. Raise them with us, because we are not here just to oversee and find fault. We are also here to support you, because we want you to succeed, and your success is the success of our nation. And we want to thank you very much for the efforts that you have been making under difficult circumstances to make sure that the department works.
And this actually brings us to the end of the session. Today is Wednesday. It's too early to have the freedom of the city of Cape Town, so please go back to work.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the next one.